Chaitanya Charitamrita. Reading this chapter, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya offers prasad to the Lord in Majjalila, chapter 15. There are many nice things in the first part of this chapter. Different devotees are leaving the Lord Chaitanya in Nilachala and going back to Bengal. And it gives different instructions. Just the other night we read the definition of a Vaishnava when Satyaraj, a Grihastha devotee of Lord Chaitanya, asked for some specific instructions. He said, "My dear Lord, being a householder and a materialistic man, I do not know the process of advancing in spiritual life. I therefore submit myself unto your lotus feet and request you to give me orders." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, "Without cessation, continue chanting the holy name of Lord Krishna. Whenever possible, serve him and his devotees, the Vaishnavas." Upon hearing this, Satyaraj said, "How can I recognize a Vaishnava? Please let me know what a Vaishnava is. What are his common symptoms?" Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, "Whoever chants the holy name of Krishna just once is worshipable and is the topmost human being." Simply by chanting the holy name of Krishna, one is relieved from all the reactions of a sinful life. One can complete the nine processes of devotional service simply by chanting the holy name. There are many different things in the purport. We read this just the other night. But one thing is worth pointing out about as a definition given of a pure devotee here. The novice engages in devotional service, especially in deity worship, and follows the order of a bona fide spiritual master, he becomes a pure devotee. Anyone can take advantage of hearing about Krishna consciousness from a pure devotee and thus gradually become purified. A devotee who believes that the holy name of the Lord is identical with the Lord is a pure devotee, even though he may be in the neophyte stage. By his association, others may also become Vaishnavas. One does not have to undergo initiation or execute the activities required before initiation. One simply has to vibrate the holy name with his lips. Thus, even a man in the lowest class can be delivered. This whole section is glorification of the holy name. After that verse, which I read almost last night, in the purport, there's much discussion about initiation. In Prabhupada's another place of reference, he describes the purascharya required for initiation in the Krishna Consciousness Society, specifically the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Purascharya means pura means before, charya means activities. Activities of purification necessary before one can be initiated. Due to the necessity of these activities, we do not immediately initiate disciples in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. For 6 months, a candidate for initiation must first attend arati and classes in the shastras, practice the regulative principles, and associate with other devotees. When one is actually advanced in the purascharya vidhi, he is recommended by the local temple president for initiation. It is not that anyone can suddenly be initiated without meeting the requirements. When one is further advanced by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra 16 rounds daily, following the regulative principles and attending classes, he receives a sacred thread brahminical recognition after the second 6 months. Without performing the purascharya activities, one cannot become perfect even by chanting this mantra for hundreds of years. more glorification of the holy name. By chanting the holy name of the Lord, one dissolves his entanglement in material activities. After this, one becomes very attracted to Krishna, and thus dormant love for Krishna is awakened. So here's a next verse is a quote from the Padyavali by Srila Rupa Goswami. The holy name of Lord Krishna is an attractive feature for many saintly liberal people. It is the annihilator of all sinful reactions and is so powerful that save for the dumb who cannot chant it, it is readily available to everyone, including the lowest type of man, the chandala. The holy name of Krishna is the controller of the opulence of liberation, and it is identical with Krishna. Simply by touching the holy name with one's tongue, immediate effects are produced. Chanting the holy name does not depend on initiation, pious activities, or the Purushacharya regulative principles generally observed before initiation. The holy name does not wait for all these activities. It is self-sufficient. There's an apparent contradiction in there, if you were listening carefully. Were you heard us? What was it? Did anything sound funny, or did it just all go over as one? Nothing? No contradiction? Or apparent contradiction? Yes? Without the poorest chai. Yeah. And then it says. Yeah. By reading the long purport to the one verse, which quotes different verses, the way I understand it is the holy name is so powerful and so pure that any man can chant it, even the lowest class man, the chandala. So I think it has to be understood within the context of the Vedic society, in which there's a general a condition that one who is lower born would not receive initiation. He would not receive the sacred thread, although this is not the Shastric injunction that this was going on. So especially Lord Chaitanya didn't care at all for these kinds of distinctions. But he stressed that anyone could chant the holy name regardless of his whether he had received the initiation. Another thing is initiation is generally defined as the diksha. Which is given to the Brahmin, again. That the holy name, that the this Brahminical initiation is necessary. But with the holy name, it's not. But the holy name also has to be received from the spiritual master, from the pure devotee. Lord Chaitanya was distributing the holy name to anyone, and he regarded whoever chanted the holy name as automatically better than a Brahmin or better than anyone. But the holy name also had to be received from the pure devotee. So now with Prabhupada's spreading of Krishna consciousness, he gives the holy name Harinam initiation. It is without the person does not have to be Brahmin. He can receive the holy name. But then he also and in following his spiritual master, just to conform with Vedic regulations. He gives these persons who are qualified by virtue of chanting the holy name, he gives them the second initiation. There's a saying that I take your weapon from you and I kill you with your own weapon. So they are very proud that they are Brahmins, and they say that other people cannot make benefit unless they are Brahmin. But we say that the Vaishnava is better than Brahmin, but we also then give the Brahmin initiation. So that in both ways, we defy the necessity for being a Brahmin to chant Hare Krishna. You don't have to have the Diksha to chant Hare Krishna and to be delivered. Just like we say, first initiation is enough for going back to Godhead. But we require, in ISKCON, we require the second initiation also. So that no one can say that we are not Brahmins. So this is at least our preaching position, and I think it's also explanation of these apparent contradiction that, and of course we invite anyone to chant in the beginning without being initiated even in the Harinam. We encourage him to chant, and he can get great benefit in that way. But this shouldn't be taken that anyone can chant Hare Krishna and an initiation is not important. Initiation from the Harinam initiation is important, and because our spiritual master, following his spiritual master, wanted the second initiation for the completing the process, and that becomes necessary too. It's just a rather intricate business for preaching in the West and preaching in India and understanding these verses. The main thing is the glory of the holy name.
Would it be proper, Maharaj, for us to understand that these effects of the holy name actually accrue to offenseless chanting of the holy name, and that the procedures that we are following, like Archana Vidhi and like that, are actually because none of us could chant offenselessly, coming as we are in this society, the verse that we've taken, and that these are actually necessary to help us as ananicals to come to the point of chanting offenseless, and then at that stage, then these effects automatically accrue to the chanting of the holy name. Is that?
Well, offenseless chanting is when we follow those 10. There are 10 offenses to chanting, so. Didi Vaishya will help that.
When he refers to the effects of chanting, that these things automatically happen, does that mean offenseless chanting?
What thing? Oh, that all the... No, he says... well, something happens even by the shadow of Haridas Thakur, said by the Nambas. You get liberation. And the man there thought that is exaggeration. But he said, no, this fact, just by the shadow. But then if you chant offenselessly, then everything is there. So we can't say that unless it's offenseless, there's no benefit. Let's go. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then advised, one who is chanting the Hare Krishna mantra is understood to be a Vaishnava. Therefore, you should offer all respects to him. Purport. In his Upadesharmata, Srila Rupa Goswami states, Krishneti yasya giritam manasa driyeta dikshashticet. An advanced devotee should respect a person who has been initiated by a bona fide spiritual master and who is situated on the transcendental platform, chanting the holy name with faith and obeisances and following the instructions of the spiritual master. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur comments that serving Vaishnavas is most important for householders. Whether a Vaishnava is properly initiated or not is not a subject for consideration. One may be initiated and yet contaminated by the Mayavada philosophy, but a person who chants the holy name of the Lord offenselessly will not be so contaminated. A properly initiated Vaishnava may be imperfect, but one who chants the holy name of the Lord offenselessly is all perfect. Although he may apparently be a neophyte, he still has to be considered a pure, unalloyed Vaishnava. It is the duty of the householder to offer such respects to an unalloyed Vaishnava. This is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instruction. Just like still people in India, they don't respect Prabhupada's disciples as Brahmins, sannyasis. They won't eat with them, they won't take their prasadam. So this is a contradictory to the situation. Because they're chanting Hare Krishna, you may not think they're properly born or properly initiated, but they're chanting Hare Krishna. So you have to consider them as devotees, Vaishnavas. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then turned his attention to three persons, Mukunda Das, Raghunananda, and Sri Narahari, inhabitants of the place called Kunda. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the son of Mother Sachi, next asked Mukunda Das, "You are the father, and your son is Raghunanda, Raghunandana, is that so? Or is Srila Raghunandana your father, whereas you are his son? Please tell me the facts so that my doubts will go away." Mukunda replied, "Raghunandana is my father, and I am his son. This is my decision. All of us have attained devotion to Krishna due to Raghunandana. Therefore, in my mind, he is my father." Hearing Mukunda Das give this proper decision, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu confirmed it, saying, "Yes, it is correct. One who awakens devotion to Krishna is certainly a spiritual master." If the son becomes a devotee first and brings the father, then he's the father of that son. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very happy just to speak of the glories of his devotees. Indeed, when he spoke of their glories, it was as if he had five faces. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then informed all his devotees, "Please hear about Mukunda's love of Godhead. It is a very deep and pure love and can only be compared with purified gold." So this was the nice discussion for Lord Chaitanya. Not only did he have to talk about Krishna and the gopis, but he liked to talk about his own devotees and tell others about their pure devotion. We may do that also. Talk of Krishna, talk of our spiritual master. And we may also praise the Vaishnavas. And that's praising Krishna. Purport. Unless Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu discloses the fact, no one can understand who is actually a great devotee of the Lord engaged in his service. It is therefore said in Chaitanya Charitamrita, "Tanra Vakya Kriya Mudra Vigyeha Navujaya." Even the most perfect and learned scholar cannot understand a Vaishnava's activities. A Vaishnava may be engaged in governmental service or in a professional business, so that externally one cannot understand his position. Internally, however, he may be a Nityasiddha Vaishnava, that is, an eternally liberated Vaishnava. Externally, Mukunda Das was a royal physician, but internally he was the most liberated Paramahamsa devotee. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew this very well, but ordinary men could not understand it, for the activities and plans of a Vaishnava cannot be understood by ordinary men. However, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his representative understood everything about a devotee, even though the devotee may externally pretend to be an ordinary householder and professional businessman. One day, Mukunda Das, the royal physician, was seated with the Mohammedan king on a high platform and was telling the king about medical treatment. While the king and Mukunda Das were conversing, a servant brought a fan made of peacock feathers to shave the head of the king from the sun. Consequently, he held the fan above the king's head. You can see the picture. The two are sitting there. And Mukunda Das, he's a doctor, not a sannyasi. And he's talking to the king, and he happens to look over the king's head, and some man's fanning him with a peacock feather. Just by seeing the peacock feathered fan, Mukunda Das became absorbed in ecstatic love of Godhead and fell from the high platform onto the ground. The king, fearing that the royal physician was killed, personally descended and brought him to his consciousness. When the king asked Mukunda, "Where is it paining you?" Mukunda replied, "I am not very much pained." The king then inquired, "Mukunda, why did you fall down?" Mukunda replied, "My dear king, I have a disease that is like epilepsy." Being extraordinarily intelligent, the king could understand the whole affair. In his estimation, Mukunda was a most uncommon man, exalted and liberated personality. Raghunandana is constantly engaged in serving the temple of Lord Krishna. Beside the entrance of the temple is a lake, and on its banks is a kadamba tree, which daily delivers two flowers to be used for Krishna's service. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again spoke to Mukunda with sweet words. "Your duty is to earn both material and spiritual wealth. Furthermore, it is the duty of Raghunandana to always engage in Lord Krishna's service. He has no other intention but the service of Lord Krishna." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then ordered Narahari, "I wish you to remain here with my devotees. In this way, the three of you should always execute these three duties for the service of the Lord." Purport. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu set forth three duties for three different people. Mukunda was to earn money and follow the religious principles, whereas Narahari was to remain with the Lord's devotees, and Raghunandana was to engage in the Lord's service in the temple. Thus, one person worships in the temple, another earns money honestly by executing his professional duty, and yet another preaches Krishna consciousness with the devotees. Apparently, these three types of service appear separate, but actually they are not. When Krishna or Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the center, everyone can engage in different activities for the service of the Lord. That is the verdict of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Very clear teachings. He does not say that one is better than the other. Because you're preaching to the devotees, you're better than the one that's earning money. Or because you're in the temple, you're this or that. But with Sri Chaitanya, Sri Krishna in the center, and being ordered by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to do these different things, that is his expertise, that he can engage people in different ways according to their inclinations and according to his understanding. Out of his causeless mercy, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave the following directions to the brothers, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Vidya Vachaspati. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "In this age of Kali, Krishna is manifested in two forms, wood and water. Thus he helps conditioned souls to become liberated by seeing the wood and bathing in the water. Lord Jagannath is the Supreme Lord himself in the form of wood, and the river Ganges is the Supreme Lord himself in the form of water." Purport. The Vedas enjoin Sarvam Klavidam Brahma. Everything is the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Supreme Brahman or Param Brahman. Parasya Brahmana Shakti Statetam Akilam Jagat. Everything is a manifestation of the energy of the Supreme Brahman. Since the energy and the energetic are identical, actually everything is Krishna, Param Brahman. Bhagavad Gita confirms this. Mayata Tamidam Sarvam Jagadavyakta Mortina Matstani Sarvabhutani Nachaham Teshavastita. By me and my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. Krishna is spread throughout the whole universe in his impersonal form. Since everything is a manifestation of the Lord's energy, the Lord can manifest himself through any energy. In this age, the Lord is manifest through wood as Lord Jagannath, and he is manifest through water as the river Ganges. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered the two brothers, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Vidya Vachaspati, to worship Lord Jagannath and the river Ganges. Translation. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, you should engage in the worship of Lord Jagannath, Purushottama, and Vachaspati, you should worship Mother Ganges. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then embraced Murari Gupta and began to speak about his firm faith in devotional service. This was heard by all the devotees. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Previously I induced Murari Gupta again and again to be allured by Lord Krishna. I said to him, 'My dear Gupta, Lord Sri Krishna, Vajendra Kumar, is the supreme sweetness. Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead, the origin of all incarnations and the source of everything. He is pure transcendental love itself, and he is the reservoir of all pleasure. Krishna is the reservoir of all transcendental qualities. He is like a mine of gems. He is expert at everything, very intelligent and sober, and he is the summit of all humors. His character is very sweet, and his pastimes are melodious. He is expert in intelligence, and thus he enjoys all his pastimes and mellows.' I then requested Murari Gupta, 'Worship Krishna and take shelter of him, but for his service nothing appeals to the mind.' In this way he heard from me again and again. By my influence his mind was a little converted." Murari Gupta then replied, "I am your servant and your order carrier. I have no independent existence." After this, Murari Gupta went home and he spent the whole night thinking how he would be able to give up the association of Raghunath, Lord Ramchandra. Thus he was overwhelmed. Murari Gupta then began to pray at the lotus feet of Lord Ramchandra. He prayed that death would come that night because it was not possible for him to give up the service of the lotus feet of Raghunath. Thus Murari Gupta cried the entire night. There was no rest for his mind. Therefore he could not sleep, but stayed awake the entire night. In the morning Murari Gupta came to see me. Catching hold of my feet and crying, he submitted an appeal. Murari Gupta said, "I have sold my head to the lotus feet of Raghunath. I cannot withdraw my head, for that would give me too much pain. It is not possible for me to give up the service of Raghunath's lotus feet. At the same time, if I do not do so, I shall break your order. What can I do?" In this way, Murari Gupta appealed to me, saying, "Kindly grant me this mercy, because you are all merciful. Let me die before you, so that all my doubts will be finished." Hearing this, I became very happy. I then raised Murari Gupta and embraced him. I said to him, "All glories to you, Murari Gupta. Your method of worship is very firmly fixed, so much so that even upon my request, your mind did not turn. The servitor must have love and affection for the lotus feet of the Lord exactly like this. Even if the Lord wants separation, a devotee cannot abandon the shelter of his lotus feet." Purport. The word Prabhu or Master indicates that the Lord is to be continuously served by his devotee. The original Prabhu is the Lord, Sri Krishna. Nonetheless, there are many devotees attached to Lord Ramchandra, and Murari Gupta is a vivid example of such unalloyed devotion. He never agreed to give up Lord Ramchandra's worship, not even upon Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's request. Such is the chastity of devotional service. In a firm relationship with the Lord, the devotee does not give up the Lord's service under any circumstance. As far as the Lord himself is concerned, if the devotee chooses to leave the Lord brings him back again, dragging him by the hair. Translation. "Just to test your firm faith in your Lord, I requested you again and again to change your worship from Lord Ramchandra to Krishna. In this way I congratulated Murari Gupta, saying, 'Indeed, you are the incarnation of Hanuman. Consequently, you are the eternal servant of Lord Ramchandra. Why should you give up the worship of Lord Ramchandra and his lotus feet?'" So, they're equal, Krishna and Ramchandra. This is dependent on liking. We heard Prabhupada having a conversation with one of his disciples, and the disciple was asking, "Why an advanced devotee like Bhishma, who is a Mahajan and knows everything, and knows about Krishna, just like on his deathbed of arrows, he was remembering Krishna in the dance with the gopis, and yet his worshipful Lord was Puram Narayan?" So why does he worship Narayan? If he knows, and Prabhupada said, it is liking. He said, if there is Krishna and Narayan are the same, or Krishna and Ramachandra are the same, he said, of course, in the analytical calculation, the worship of Krishna is actually higher, but but the devotees, even though they hear that Madhurya Ras is higher, it's a matter of liking, that even after hearing that, they like to be the parent of Krishna. And they're not considered lesser. He said, it is all equal, it is absolute, it's the same. So this is a inconceivable one indifference. But at least we should understand that liking is there in even in one's relationship with Krishna. There is scope for that, to like to worship the Lord in a different way, or to like to serve the Lord in a different way. And someone likes to, that worship means serve. Someone likes to serve Krishna by being the grass that he walks on, out of humility. Someone likes to be a cow, and not that he will go forward and offer some service, but if Krishna likes, Krishna can go over and embrace him. Which he does. He embraces the cows, he embraces the boys, he embraces the gopis. And someone likes to be the mother, someone likes to be the lover. So liking is there. But as followers of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we get direct access to Krishna and his form, Radha Krishna. And this is the highest rasa. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then embraced Vasudeva Dat and began to speak of his glories as if he had 1,000 mouths. This is a very rich section, many, many things we've already discussed just in a few minutes reading. And this Vasudeva Dat will introduce another important discussion. Are there any questions about these? We've discussed so far about the glories of the holy name and about the devotee, the greatness of the devotee Mukunda with the peacock fan, and then how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave different instructions to three different persons, and now Murari Gupta's inability to be changed from Ram Bhakta to Krishna Bhakta. Any questions about those things?
Yes. What about this idea of liking for a neophyte devotee, liking in particular one of the nine processes, say to be engaged in deity worship or book distribution? Is that transcendental also?
Yeah. Of course, just like when we say new, when we're very new, we can't be expected to do something right away that we like without proving our general service aptitude. Like someone joins a big newspaper, he may say, I would like to be the editor. There are many success stories of the editor who began by sweeping and then became a copy boy or something like that. You may want to be the editor right away, but first, see if you can serve the newspaper, or you serve Krishna in this way or that way. But one may maintain that he has to be willing to know. He says, "I want to be the editor. I'm not going to sweep the floor." And he has to sweep the floor, and he should be humble. But he may maintain that liking. And soon, by Krishna's grace, he'll be able to do different things for Krishna as he becomes more advanced. And just like Prabhupada used to say, deserve and then desire. If someone hears about the kalpa riksha trees in the spiritual world, that on these trees you can get any fruit you like, he may say, I want to go there. That's very nice. He says, I have that desire, I want to go to the Kalpa Vriksha tree. He says, deserve and then desire. You deserve to go and then you can enjoy that liking. But if right from the beginning one says, yes, from the very beginning I was very attracted to this particular service, then that's natural. These teachings emphasize that. Someone may work on the farm, someone may work in the city, someone may do business, someone may do this. It's allowable. But not that one month I'm this, and next month I'm that, next month I'm this. Whimsically dissatisfied with everything. No liking, but disliking and unchaste. Use that word, chaste. Well, that was in terms of the worship of the Lord in a particular form. But chaste also to service. Do something. It may take you a little while to find out, but you have to find out what you want to do. And then develop. Query, Prabhu?
Well, Prabhupada said that we're being trained, the activities we're performing are specifically giving us so we can invoke that Madhura Rasa.
Hmm.
So, I mean, every one of us will be involved in that Madhura Rasa, or could other things come about in the progressive march there?
We have an eternal relationship with Krishna, eternal rasa, which will be, as we increase our devotional service, at some advanced point, it becomes awakened, and we yearn for it then very much. But even worshipping Radha Krishna, as we do, we don't worship Lakshmi Narayana, we worship Radha Krishna. That involves different relationships. Someone is the gopi and is embraced by Krishna. It's like Rupa Goswami. He was a manjari, not a directly embraced by Krishna, but he assisted the gopis who were embraced by Krishna. So, but also, someone is just a blade of grass in the rasa dance, or a bush where Krishna may go, or just like in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, here's a Ram Bhakta, but he's a devotee of Lord Chaitanya, because this is very exceptional, but he's a devotee of Lord Chaitanya. So we can't say that we had some other rasa, but by serving in Lord Chaitanya's movement we'll become a particular kind of gopi. Not that everyone has to be gopi. Somebody can be the flute. So Krishna plays the flute and attracts the gopis in Madhurya Rasa, but he has some kind of relationship with the flute. As paraphernalia, or with his jewelry, or the cows are involved sometimes in the Madhurya Rasa. They're not Madhurya Rasa, but they're there. There's that picture of Krishna and Radharani and the cow. But he's there, the cow, or she is there, the cow. But the rasa is there, has to be realized. It's not that if we don't become a certain thing, we fail. At the point we're in now, we all just have to strive to become good devotees and pure devotees by everybody chanting and hearing, and then individually doing some service, and then whenever Krishna desires, when rasa is revealed to us, then we just like it, we want it. And then there's no question of it being changed. It's difficult to understand. For that matter, how have we become devotees of Lord Chaitanya? That is His mercy on us. Somehow we've been gathered up as devotees of Lord Chaitanya, devotees of Srila Prabhupada. It is a fact, however, that by becoming a devotee of Lord Chaitanya, then you get access to Radha Krishna, as in no other sampradaya. The devotees of Lord Chaitanya particularly approach the Lord in that way. So there's appreciation of the Madhurya Rasa, for example, by Sukadeva Goswami, although he was not in that rasa. But he is the one who tells us about the rasa dance in Srimad Bhagavatam. I explained that because they had some liking. One another disciple of Prabhupada was asking him the same kind of question. Now that you can't argue liking. He said, well, this is better, why don't you like? And it's not like that. It's not that it's, although we say it's better, his liking to be the mother of Krishna, you can't say the Yasoda is inferior. In fact, this was going on in that, what do they call it, the Gopi Bhava Club in Los Angeles. That some devotees were prematurely just reading about this Madhurya Rasa. Well, Madhurya Rasa is highest, so let's just read about this and don't read about anything else. That's why devotees are not ecstatic, because they're not just hearing about the Madhurya Rasa, which is the highest. And in talking like that, someone said something like, yes, this is the highest. Why should we take something lesser like the paternal relationship which Krishna's mother, like Mother Yasoda, which is inferior? And when Prabhupada heard this, he was angry at the whole business, Prakriti Sahaja, but he made that point. He said, oh, Mother Yasoda is inferior? She's the mother of Krishna, and you're saying that somehow you can analyze and say Madhurya Rasa is the highest, but then you can't come back and say that Mother Yasoda is inferior to anybody. Is the mother of God. She does things with Krishna that even the gopis don't do. So it's different in its liking. So one time, we have to accommodate both things. We can't think of it in narrow-minded or material way. Well, if that's the best, I want the best. So one devotee was talking to Prabhupada like that and saying that how could anyone prefer Vishnu to Krishna? So he said, it was a woman, and she had a daughter. And he said, why do you care for this girl instead of, there's so many thousands of girls, little girls, why are you taking care of this one? And so she didn't know what to say. She said, well, because she was given to me. He said, no, because you, why are you taking care of this girl instead of others? He said, because you love her. So they love Vishnu. I mean, objectively speaking, maybe your daughter is not as wonderful as some other daughter, as some other child, but you love this child. It's absolute. As long as he's Vishnu Tattva. It will take some realization. So we're worshipping Radha Damodar, Radha Kalachanji, Radha Krishna worship. That means somehow we've already, by great fortune, arrived at this point of highest. Yeah.
We also see how a devotee is actually have an affinity and they take an attraction to a certain deity.
Hmm.
They,
liking.
Radha Damodar or Radha Govinda.
Yeah.
And wherever, just on wherever they're situated, you just take that liking and then,
yeah.
You see some people take it with them.
Can't be replaced.
Yeah. Just in that, just the neophyte, you can see that.
Fingers and throwing this and doing that, and then at certain times he had to come out. He was obliged, and he looked to me kind of unhappy. And he just sat there, and they were chanting and chanting, and they directed him. You know? And the devotees were unhappy. At least we were looking at Prabhupada and these men telling Prabhupada to do different things, and he's the Paramhamsa Jagat Guru with all the disciples, and it's his temple. They would say, do this, throw this, now do this, throw that. They were even seated, I think they were seated equally to him. He wasn't seated above them when he had to go in and do these different things. And that, I remember we were watching, we were all becoming very uncomfortable watching these men make Prabhupada do different things. And then he would just leave again. Then at another scheduled time he had to come back. So, we didn't think it was so necessary. Whatever Prabhupada wanted to do to install Krishna was sufficient. But we have to not think that we are such great souls that we can just do anything in our mind and not do the prescribed offerings. But in those systems that we do, the main thing is the chanting of Hare Krishna, the kirtan. Arti, a bhog offering, is preceded and followed by kirtan. That's the main life and soul.
Didn't Srila Prabhupada say that the principle of our deity worship is patram pushpam palantara? I'm just talking about that. That particular installation.
Simply to offer Krishna.
Lord, love and devotion.
Mm.
Those were the two ingredients that actually were the most important. And also chanting Hare Krishna. I know when he was talking about Arjuna Padati that he said that chanting Hare was actually the most important.
Chanting of Hare Krishna. Yes.
Is this an important principle in our teaching that we may often have to do things for a show that we don't actually believe in?
Hmm.
I'm thinking particularly we were discussing in terms of Gurukula education. Prabhupada has said, Vidya Bhagavatam, Bhagavatam has everything, you don't need anything else. But we were also discussing how so that the children, probably says that if they want to appear fools, they have to be taught other subject matters.
Mm. Yeah, you can do things like that. In order to preach in the world. Because, again, just like if Jiva Goswami had to do it, then we had to do it. Because the people are so foolish to just give them the pure thing, they won't take it. Well, Prabhupada also said, no one will listen to a poor man. There's a saying. So he, on that principle, he had to build these big temples in Mayapur and Bombay and Vrindavan. And then people will come. The It's not a compromise, it's just a method of preaching.
You told me that one time that it takes some spiritual intelligence to know the difference between adjusting the principles according to time and place and compromising.
What was the background to that?
He was talking about how in the Golgi Math they wouldn't allow women.
Mm.
So, and he said, look, the result of that is they have their prikrams and only women come anyway, all ladies.
Mm.
But I've adjusted this principle and I allow the girls and the boys to come together because of a particular culture, and as a result different kinds of movements growing all over the world. The proper secretary asked at that time, how do you know the difference between compromising and adjusting the principle? The proper said that takes some spiritual intelligence.
Die.